The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
If you have the Bibles handy, turn with us to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's read verses 12 through 16. And in the 15th verse, I think you will find the statement that leads to the subject, One Track Mind. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrines, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, being a young man who was about to step into the shoes of one of the greatest leaders of all time, having been chosen by God to fill that position, and of course, the Apostle Paul, being the wise spiritual father that he was, recognized the difficulty Timothy would be facing as a young man having to lead elderly people, a people who had been very, very fortunate to have had access to the great leadership of the apostle himself. The advice that Paul is giving to Timothy here is applicable to us today, and especially you young people who are embarking upon the trail that leads to the cross and the kingdom. The cardinal principles that Paul emphasizes here are very vital in enabling Paul or Timothy to demonstrate what God had provided for him in carrying out the ministry that he had chosen him for. Love and faith. Love is the soil in which, the foundation on which we are built and the soil in which we grow. And of course, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In addition, there is some very important responsibilities here for Timothy, and that is his lifestyle. We as believers in Jesus Christ have to demonstrate the Christ life before this world if we expect to be effective. Timothy was encouraged to be a pattern, to set a standard. Let no man despise your youth. The fact that you're young should not give your elders an opportunity to look down on you. What you are speaks louder than what you say. And if your elders do not respect you and desire to follow you because of your youth, the demonstration of the piety, the God-given graces that have been imparted to you will get their attention. The Lord Jesus Christ, the master teacher, said to the apostles before departing, "After that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the world." Acts 1:8. So it's what we are that really determines what is accomplished by the gifts or the graces of God that he imparts to us. Our entire consecration, giving of our all of our energies to carrying out the assignment that God has placed upon us. The graces of God is sufficient. And a marvelous thing about God, he doesn't just do things in meager measures. Where sin abound, grace doth much more abound. And where the need exists, the supplies are usually far exceed the needs. So the graces of God that enable Timothy to be the man of the hour, to step in the shoes of his father in the ministry, in the gospel, the Apostle Paul, was sufficient. But then the responsibility of using those gifts effectively and efficiently rested upon Timothy, just as it do you and I. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are what we are because of to whom we belong. And we must demonstrate that in our lives on a daily basis. God does not call us and bless us to make us popular. I think one of the things that we are witnessing in the recent revelations about some of the ministries should be an eye-opener to us. God blesses people. He called Abraham, for an example, and blessed Abraham to make him a blessing. God called Timothy, God called you and I, not just for the sake of blessing us, but for the sake of using us to bless others. And in the final phase of this message, the apostle says, if you do these things, then you're going to save yourself and save those who hear you. There are areas of responsibility that you must give yourself to: reading the word, and of course, meditating on the principles that have been given you that will enable you by God's grace to be an effective minister. Meditate. Think deep. And as we search Scripture, we find some similarities here that permeates God's plan, some truth that seem to have been woven through the fabric of life and scriptural principles that are so familiar. Meditate, to think deep, to give yourself to. It's amazing how we, many of us, neglect the God-given graces, the principles that God has provided for us, and Satan has taken the advantage of them and are using them. The Eastern religion says meditation is a means of succeeding. Transcendental meditation. Now, when we look back at the leaders that God raised up, Moses, for an example, Moses learned all that was necessary to be the successor of Pharaoh in the king's house. But God had placed something in Moses' heart that would not allow him to remain where he was. It's no coincidence that you're here. It's no coincidence that you felt the calling of God to prepare yourself for the work of the Lord. Moses was so concerned, he had it so deeply embedded in his heart, in his spirit, that he took off and decided to deliver his people by murdering the Egyptian. He had the desire, but he didn't have the right understanding as how to use it. That's why it's so important that we meditate. When we meditate in God's word, God is talking to us, and God prepares us for the job that he's called us to do. And if we're ever going to succeed, it's important that we take this very seriously. Somebody said the individual who is called to teach must be the scholar before he can teach others. Moses, finally, having been disappointed in his effort to deliver his people, found himself in the backside of the desert, and what he had not learned in Pharaoh's house, he learned on the backside of the desert watching the sheep. God taught him. God is teaching us. Take advantage of it, not only what he says to us in the word, but we must think deep about what God is saying to us. He's giving us direction. After Moses learned his lesson well and was now prepared, God gave him the instruction to go and do what he had called him to do, what Moses had tried to do on his own. And now, of course, he wasn't ready. I can't speak plain. But God gave him to know that I'm sending you, and I made your mouth, and I'm going to give you a mouthpiece. And I think Paul was concerned about the timidity of Timothy here. He's a young man who would be intimidated by his elders. But I'm going to give you some instructions, Timothy, that will give you the courage and the energy and the strength and the backbone to do what God has called you to do. Meditate in these principles, God's word, and they will strengthen you. It's not by your academic skills or by your greatness, but by the Holy Spirit and the word of God. I think Timothy got the message, but on the other hand, in the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Timothy, we find the Apostle Paul informing Timothy, it's time for you to stir up the gifts that was given to you. And I think that's where we find ourselves sometimes. We do the things that is necessary to get going. And then after we get going and we realize a degree of success, there's a tendency to either become so deeply involved in what we're doing that we lose sight on the one that's enabling us to do it. While we must give ourselves to ministry, we must not allow the ministry to swallow us up. In other words, we must not become so busy working for the Lord that we do not have adequate time with the Lord, because he is the one that makes it happen. And again, when we meditate in God's word, God is talking to us. He's instructing us. He's informing us. He's building us up. He's edifying us. He's enlightening us. And this process is designed to prepare us to share what God has for others. We can only impart to others what we have. And if we're going to be strong in the Lord, and that's one of the requirements, if you're going to be intimidated, if you're going to be lukewarm, or you're going to be one of those sophisticated individuals who rely on your personal academic skills, you're going to find yourself in trouble. But if you rely on the God that called you, and if you will receive what God has provided for you and act upon it, Timothy, you must be pure. You must have a completely dedicated, consecrated life. You must live the life. You must love. You must exercise faith. You must read the word. You must teach the word. You must do what God has called you to do. But in order to do that and be effective, you're going to have to retain that unbroken fellowship with him. Now, as we look back, Father, for some additional confirmations, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to be attacked by the armies and he goes to pray, he comes out and says, Lord, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He said to the disciples, he said, you all are going to leave me, but I will not be alone, because he who sent me is with me. We must focus constantly on our source. Problems are going to arise. And if we focus on our problems, they're going to become stumbling blocks. But if we focus on our source, our problems will become stepping stones. I trust that none of you will get the impression that entering into the ministry is a glorifying, self-exalting position. It's a way of suffering. In spite of all of the messages, the preachings that you hear and see on television about all of the marvelous things that goes on, there's a way of suffering. The Apostle Paul said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and righteousness exalted the nation. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. A one-track mind. In spite of the suffering, in spite of the disappointment, in spite of the discouragements, in spite of the crosses and the burdens, be steadfast. And if you meditate in the word, it will enable you to be steadfast. It will help you to focus on your source. Philippians 4 and 6, the Apostle Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. I know, Timothy, that there's a tendency for you to be a little leery about going forth, but if you apply these principles, if you meditate in the word, if you build yourself up, the Holy Spirit will use what you have to minister to others. And the main purpose of salvation, of this whole, the calling, the ministry, again, is not to exalt us or to make us great, but to reach the lost for Christ. To get people's attention, to make them aware of the tremendous opportunity they have in this life to receive and enjoy the abundant life. And Timothy and you, my brothers and sisters, have this opportunity to shine in this dark age. The darker the light, the night, the brighter the light. You don't see insects floating around in the darkness, but put a light out there. And you will see them coming to that light. Jesus said, you're the light of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And beloved, as you meditate in the word of God, not just study it for the purpose of being a Bible-toting, scripture-quoting individual, but for the purpose of embedding it in your innermost being, so what comes out of you is what God has imparted to you, and God doesn't make mistakes. God has not promised to honor our rhetoric. He said, my word will not come back void. And it's so simple and so plain that people often overlook the truth looking for something deep and difficult. And that's where the false prophets and false teachers have a field day. I like to think that the most successful ministries are those which pattern their ministries after the master himself, who said, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Jesus taught very simply that the purpose of teaching Timothy is to save. And if you keep it simple, people will be able to grasp it, to absorb it, to retain it, to apply it. Keep it simple. Meditate on it so you can have it, so you can share it, but do it with simplicity as unto the Lord. The Lord did not have to try to impress people with his theological superiority, his homiletical skills. Get all of those important helps that you can get, but remember, in the final analysis, it's the gift that God imparts to you that's going to enable you to use what you get effectively and efficiently. The Word of God. And we cannot boast. God forbid that we should boast in anything. We do not deserve anything. Timothy deserved, earned nothing. But by God's grace, God's unmerited favor, he was placed in this position and given the responsibility. So you and I, briefly, another witness. God said to Joshua, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. I want you to take this children across the Jordan. And I will be with you as I was with Moses. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And meditate in the book, the word, that Moses wrote, that you turn neither to the right nor to the left, that you might prosper whithersoever you go. The first division of Psalm, of which you are all familiar with, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight. He doesn't do it as a chore, but he has a hunger, and he delights in meditating in the word. It becomes a source of strength, a source of spiritual energy, a source of enlightenment. And he meditates in it day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in the season. His leaves shall not wither. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. You the branches. You can do nothing except you abide in me. But if you abide in me, you'll bring forth fruit. My Father will purge you, and you will bring forth much fruit. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for thee. Meditate in the word. Use the word. Rely on the word. Absorb the word. Teach the word of God, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believeth, first the Jew, and then the Greek. Finally, we're on a mission. We are on a mission. In this dark world, we have been chosen to be lights by his grace. We must demonstrate his love, his faith. We must glorify him in our lives on a daily basis. We must have a oneness with him inseparably. Do not allow circumstances, conditions, people, or anything to come between you and him. Your fellowship with him is an absolute necessity if you're going to succeed in accomplishing the task that he has assigned to your hand. Finally, it's all for one purpose, Timothy. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The main objective is God's plan for man in this age, to take out of a people unto himself. Paul, writing to Rome, the cross section of the elite of his day, and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe it, first the Jew and then the Greek. Taking the cardinal principles, applying them, love, faith, presenting yourself a holy, consecrated, dedicated, yielded, anointed vessel to God. He is the anointer. But you must provide the vessel. You are the vessel. Being steadfast, entire consecration. The eyes of the Lord, said the prophet of old, is going to and fro through the earth to find the heart that's perfect towards him, that he might show himself perfect or demonstrate his mighty power through that individual. That should be our greatest desire. Once we get over the shock of God choosing me, God's hand upon me, God using me, and settle down to the fact that God is sovereign and he has made the choice. He knows us better than we do ourselves. He doesn't have to change anything. He has put it all in very simple language for us to understand and receive and apply to our lives, that we might serve as channels through which he flow in the person of the Holy Spirit to get the job done.